On Wednesday's front page, Republicans posted big gains in the House as they rode a wave of voter discontent, but the Democrats appear to be holding on to the Senate. Once the dust settles, will a lame duck Congress do anything about the Bush tax cuts? And the offer Vice President Dick Cheney made back in 2004. President George W. Bush decided not to take him up on it. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity and entertainment system that features music search with the sound of your voice. Simply say the name of a song, band, artist, or genre of music available on your MP3 player to browse and play the music you want to hear. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
Our top story says Republicans march toward capturing control of the House. They knocked out well-established incumbents and freshman Democrats, and they're on track to pick up more than the 39 seats they need for a majority. In Senate races, Marco Rubio in Florida and Rand Paul in Kentucky won for the Republicans, while Christine O'Donnell went down to defeat in Delaware and Linda McMahon lost in Connecticut. But the Democrats appear likely to remain in control of the Senate. Times reporter David Hershenhorn says all this signals a shift in the balance of power in Washington.
The Tea Party had dramatic victories in Kentucky and Florida, Rand Paul and Marco Rubio. But these were victories really over the traditional Republican establishment. Those were both Senate seats previously held by Republicans. They didn't represent pickups for the Republican Party. And so the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, will have to pay some heed to the Tea Party and its movement. Certainly it has energized Republican voters across the country. That's been a big part of this midterm election cycle. And so the Tea Party has made itself a factor both out in the country and soon on Capitol Hill.
Times reporter David Hershenhorn. Times reporter Peter Baker says the tide has turned on President Obama. The results effectively put an end to his transformational ambitions and leave him searching for a way forward with a more limited horizon. He'll have to figure out the right blend of conciliation and confrontation if he's to reassert his authority, not to mention avoid defeat in 2012. Here in New York, Democrat Andrew Cuomo easily beat Republican Carl Paladino in the race for governor. So the election's over. Business columnist David Leonhardt has some post-election options on tax cuts. He says even a lame duck Congress is likely to take action before the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of the year. That means the tax cuts will be an early test of whether Congress meant what it said about the deficit during the campaign. He says one option for Democrats is to accept tax cuts for wealthy people if they're offset by deficit savings elsewhere. We'll go inside Wednesday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity and entertainment system that features music search with the sound of your voice. When you have Sync, you can simply say the name of a song, band, artist, or genre of music available on your MP3 player to browse and play the music you want to hear. You can also use the controls included in your vehicle's sound system to control most MP3 players. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
Inside Wednesday's Times, President George W. Bush considered dumping Vice President Dick Cheney in 2004. The former president says in a new memoir the idea came from Cheney himself. It was aimed at demonstrating Bush was in charge. The former president says he spent several weeks exploring the possibility of replacing Cheney on his reelection ticket with Senator Bill Frist of Tennessee. In the end, he decided against a switch. What would Napoleon, or Lord Nelson, say about this? France and Britain struck a deal for their troops to fight under a single command. They'll also share aircraft carriers and combine their efforts on nuclear weapons. French President Nicolas Sarkozy and British Prime Minister David Cameron insist it's a pragmatic solution for two nations that are short on cash. There are those who doubt the enemies of Waterloo and Agincourt can bury their mutual suspicions. A package bomb mailed from Greece made its way into the mailroom of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. That disclosure came after two letter bombs exploded outside embassies in Greece, and a suspicious package was destroyed at the Athens airport. In all, Greek officials have dealt with 9 bombs this week, 4 on Monday and 5 on Tuesday. Insurgents unleashed a string of coordinated attacks across Baghdad. They set off more than a dozen bombs in a bloody attempt to block the government's effort to secure the city. The explosions hit the Shiite slum of Sadr City, a Sunni mosque, a crowded restaurant, and middle-class shopping districts. New York's other subway is about to become an underground bargain. For New Yorkers along the PATH system's short diagonal route through Manhattan, it's an affordable alternative. Of course, the PATH trains also go on to New Jersey. But some riders in Greenwich Village and Chelsea have all but abandoned the subway, and with Metro cards for the subway rising to $104 a month next year, monthly passes on the PATH system could save $600 a year. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments on the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.